Doing the Bible reading today. It comes from Colossians 3 verses 1 to 17, so I'll give you a second to pull that up if you want to. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thanks, Gabe. Happy New Year. Special welcome to you if you're visiting, if you're coming through. I see some people here excited. They're really keen for a good New Year. Especially welcome if you're passing through town, if you're visiting, if it's your first time in church. It's great to have you with us this morning. As Mike said, if you need to have a little wander in the foyer, sneak out the back, grab a coffee, that's absolutely fine. We are very flexible here over at Pathway. We're going to spend about 20 minutes just talking through this passage of scripture that Gabe's just read out to us and what that might mean for us this year. Feel free to take notes, feel free to have your Bible out and look as we sort of move through some of the verses. And I might use a word that you don't understand. I'll try and explain things as we go, but feel free to come and ask me afterwards if I say something that sounded a bit funny or ask someone here that you already know. Let's pray. Lord, help us set our hearts on the things above, on heavenly things. Help us block out the distractions. Help us to learn what you call us to. And help us be blessed by your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, for a lot of us, it is that sad time of year. The Christmas haze between Christmas Day and New Year's is over. We can no longer eat pudding for breakfast. And we need to start to get back into our new routines. It's hiking season. We're going to come back to this in a minute. But just sort of keep this in your brain, a big heavy pack. Because as we all know, a new year is you don't sprint through a year. It's a long time. You need to hike, walk your way through it. It's also that time of year when we start looking forward to the new things we're going to do. New job, new town, maybe new motivation to improve, new things we want to make better about ourselves or in our life. And when we get a chance for a new start, a refresh, especially when things are hard, we hope that new phase is going to be better. That's a good thing. It's a healthy thing to be hoping, dreaming for better things. And as we plan on making things better, we make it about us and our ability to do them for us. At least that's usually the trend. Our family had a bunch of new things last year, as you heard. We moved house three times. We moved cities interstate. We started new jobs. And then we came back and did it all again. And each time we moved, I tried to change parts of myself. I made resolutions that will make life better or try and improve things for our family. And when people do this, we kind of tend to go to one of two options. Option one is we get drawn to more discipline, more strengthening me, if I can change myself. Mark Hubman is a very clever dude, clinical psychologist, psychiatrist, neurologist, and he has a whole bunch of ways that you can hack your life. We've talked about him before here, and he has the perfect day routine to be productive, the perfect exercise routine to be fit, based off what the science says. Some people lean that way. Other people lean the total opposite way of, I need to do less. I need to just increase my pleasure, not through making myself better, but just through working out where I fit in more, rubbing up against things less. Whichever option I choose, I swing between both. I seem to find that sometimes it's helpful, but it's pretty rare that by looking inward or comparing myself to what I see around me, that I get the results I want. Sometimes I actually end up further back from where I think I should be in my New Year's or New Time ambitions. And I think it's pretty telling that the things we're usually most hoping will change with a fresh start are also the things we're most unsatisfied with in ourselves. So our resolutions to change in new opportunities or a new year are a bit of a double down on this bet that here's something I don't like about myself. I'm going to make it better, and that will fix it. Or maybe I'm just going to come to terms and just accept that this is as good as it's going to get. And I think a lot of this comes through to us from the pressures that we get from the culture we live in Australia. Companies try and get us to buy their stuff by showing how that product will make our life better, how you can be smiling as you've been woken up at 5:30 to go to the gym or whatever it is you're doing, how your family will be happy with a new sofa or this house will give you the perfect family life, and then by association how inferior your life must be if you don't have these things, that you can't possibly be as good as Mike if you don't have your Air Nikes. And so we get trained to look to solve our own problems. That's what Australian culture kind of is to solve your own problem. And that comes in through TV, streaming services, music, news, targeted internet ads, billboards. It's really hard to escape and we don't notice it. But we sort of are conditioned to think if we live a certain way, we'll be happy. And the people in the Church of Colossae had a very similar pressure. They were getting pressure from the people in the Roman culture around them to be happier, to fit in more by just doing the things that these other people did. Enjoying, hey, a bit of drunkenness is fine. Take advantage of others in business, that's okay. Making money is probably one of the most important things you can do. Mistreating others if they're not from your people group, that's fine. We can do that. That's acceptable. You should join in. Your life will be easier, you'll be better, you'll be more welcome, you'll have more friends, your neighbours will talk to you more if you do this. But other people were also pressuring the Colossian church to be more Jewish, to be more Old Testament and follow laws more strictly. And you kind of see that same pressure to be going for discipline, which is follow more Old Testament laws. If you pray harder, if you come up to the temple more often, then you'll be happier. And also the more pleasure through comfort model of what the Roman neighbours were saying to them. And the Colossians may not have realised how invasive these things are and how much they'd crept into their lives. And so Paul in this letter is sort of reminding them that there is a different culture, a third culture of Jesus. That the new year, new me actually does happen in when we're made new in Christ. Now, making our lives better isn't wrong. It's a really fantastic thing, and I think that's something we should be working on constantly. But is the thing we're working on to be better or happy, the thing we're aspiring to, is it better by the standard of what we see when we set our eyes on things above, when we're looking at verses 1 to 4, Or is it better by the standards of when we look in or when we look around us? We're getting to the pack now. When we're starting our 2026, you might remember I said it's going to be a hike. It's going to be a long time. You don't just get through a year in a 100-meter sprint. You're going to bring some things. And if you're like me, you've probably got some baggage that you brought with you from 2025 and 2024 and 2023. And what I think it's good to do as we reflect on the new opportunities for the year and what we're going to do is it's good to open up our pack and start pulling some things out, going, what am I taking into 2026? I need to decide what things I'm taking out, what things I'm putting back in, what new things I want to bring along as well. And to do that really well, we need to decide where our destination is. If you're packing a bag for a summer holiday, you don't bring ski pants. If you're packing to go to the snow, then bringing your budgie smugglers is probably not a great move. And this is what Paul is saying to the Colossians as they put on their new self, as they clothe themselves, gearing up to keep turning themselves progressively into the person that God says they already are. He says, you can't put some of these things in the bag together. You can't be coveting, really wanting, desiring all the riches of the world, but then saying that you're building your heart solely on compassion. Because eventually, you're going to not want to be as compassionate to help you get richer. And it's important we think about this because it's really easy to throw a bunch of stuff in a bag and then discover later on that it's not all that helpful. And maybe that's what's happened in the past. If you've been able to see Jesus when you look to him, but you haven't realized that as you were walking through the snow or stumbling through some rocks or a tricky section, a hard patch in your life, that you've stepped off the trail. Maybe you've taken a wrong turn. Maybe you've sat down for a rest and just haven't quite got back up again. Maybe you're sitting and wondering why you've been walking for a long time, and even though you know where Jesus is, you're not feeling any closer to him. And it's because we've unknowingly stumbled off the path. We're so weighed down that we can't go forward to ascend any higher up the mountain. And so the only way we're going to pack the right things, that we're going to have the right clothes for the journey, is to set our eyes on heavenly things and to walk the path where everything we do is in apprenticeship to Jesus. We've got to work out, what are we putting in our bags? And why do we do this? Because this is the twist that we see as we start to walk through the text a bit more. It's not conditional. If you clothe yourself in kindness, you will get glory. So if you have your Bibles open, where it says, when Christ, who is with you, appears, you will be put on with glory. Some of you, this will depend on translation. So some Bibles, because they're coming from another language, they'll translate words slightly differently, but the meaning is still the same. So you have been raised with Christ. So that means if you accept Jesus as your king, then we've come back with him. And it's because we have glory in Christ, we must clothe ourselves in kindness. It's because Christ is already working in us that we're being made transformed. And then, verse 3, when you have died, what Paul is referring to here is that for those who call themselves Christians, who follow Jesus as their Saviour, we are unified with Christ. That's a really big topic. We could preach on that for, I think, a whole year and not scratch the surface. But Paul is talking about the spiritual connection that all believers have with Jesus. Because of who Jesus is as God and what Jesus did in saving humanity, followers of Jesus are spiritually united with him. And the perk of this is that we are united with Jesus and have right relationship with God. That's already done. We don't earn that by clothing ourselves with kindness or putting away malice. That's happened for those who have faith in Jesus. It's like you go and apply to change citizenship of a country, and our passport country gets upgraded from the human kingdom of earth to the kingdom of God in the heavens. But that upgrade, that change, comes at a cost to us too, because whilst we're connected in the resurrection of Christ, then we are also connected in the death of Christ to the ways we were or the ways we would have been if we hadn't had that relationship with him. And so what Paul is saying throughout this letter is, you've been bought with the blood of God. You have died to the power of the old kingdom that you used to live in. You are risen as a new citizen in a different place. Your previous allegiances and powers there are dead. So act like it. Act the way that your new identity says you are. And that status as being joined to Jesus should be the biggest part of our identities. We see again in verse 11 that all this work is already done, and so it doesn't matter what else we might have been or other people on this earth might see us as, educated, uneducated, rich, poor, local, foreigner. The new year, new me continues every day as we are new citizens, new people in Jesus. And what that really means is that our 2026 does not depend on ourselves. If you have a good year or not, whatever the outcome is, the rest of our lives doesn't depend on improving ourselves to meet the standards that the world gives us. It's guaranteed in Jesus on the throne. It's already being done, and we're just waiting for delivery. It's like getting the email saying, sometimes when you do a really popular trail, a really popular hike, you have to ask to do it and maybe pay a fee or wait for confirmation that you've got a spot so there's not too many people on the trail. You can never have too many people in heaven. But when you get that email, that changes what you do. It's really exciting. You are going to book time off work. You're going to maybe change some equipment so that you've got great new things to help you make the most of that journey. You're going to tell others, maybe invite them on the way. You're going to live your life differently based off the reality that's to come, even though you haven't left yet. So in planning 2026, it's not fitting to aspire to behaviours of the kingdom we're in, to keep living as if we're not going on that hike when we know where we are going. So how do we live in 2026? How do we do this? How do we pack our bags? As we said, we need to think destination. So set your eyes on the things above, not inside yourself or your own abilities. And as I was sort of trying to show, it's much easier to stay on track if you look up and you're constantly looking. And maybe if you look down for a minute, if multiple times a day you're looking up, you're not going to trip over the giant speaker in front of you as you run out of stage. Another thing to do that's really helpful that Paul's showing us here, Paul's the guy who wrote this letter, is to make your New Year's resignations. So not just look up at where you want to go, but take off the things that aren't compatible with getting there, that you don't really want. If Jesus was to start going through your pack when you arrive, you don't want him to find. He sees it anyway. But why would you lug that with you? Why would you take that on the way if that's not going to help you become the person you want to be? So looking at the list of verses 5 to 9, examining ourselves the sins that come from in, sexual immorality, impurity, unholy passion, covetousness, and also the sins that happen, the outward behaviours from this, verses 8 to 9. And we need to discard them and swap them for the new identity. How do we do that last bit? How do we put on this new bit? We've got two options. We can kind of go through the cross, like Paul says, to be renewed, or we can go around it. Now, what does this kind of mean? Because this is the thing. There's a lot of, you know, all right, for a better year, read your Bible more, go to Bible study, come to church, you'll have a great year. We probably know that. Most of the time when we fail at trying to become better disciples of Jesus, it's not really because we don't know some helpful things or who we could talk to help us. It's not that we don't think it's important, it's just that we don't think it's as important in comparison to the other things we might have going on. Or maybe it's that we don't quite want to accept that we can't do it ourselves, and so we'll accept the salvation of God by grace alone, that Jesus does all the work to save us, but then we want to make ourselves more like Jesus by ourselves. We don't want to actually let God help us become more like him we'll stop at the salvation bit. But Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit's already in us, we're already being renewed, and Jesus doesn't want us to go over the top of the cross with hard work. He doesn't want you to just go, I'm going to plow through this by setting 100 alarms on my phone so I get up at 5:30, and by setting an alarm in the afternoon so I read my Bible, and I'm going to go and throw out all my stuff and live in a totally empty house so I'm not tempted by my possessions. That's us trying to do it in our own strength. It's really exciting with the Blue Moose guys talking about Bible storytelling, because what we're seeing, we're now doing our training in Melbourne, they really affirmed that that's one of the best things. And as we hear in the Bible, there's lots of people who are trying to get to God on their own strength. We might hear of a guy called Zacchaeus. He was a bit of a dodgy dude. It's implied that he took some money on the side of his dealings from the people he was meant to be in a community with. He meets Jesus, and that meeting transforms him. And it's kind of inferred that, well, Zacchaeus probably tried in his life to make himself better and just couldn't do it. Yet with Jesus, it changes. Paul, the guy who wrote the letter, he tried his whole life to be as holy as he could. But he didn't become close to God until he met Jesus and did it Jesus' way. And so we can be tempted to try and, in our own strength, force ourselves to become more holy. Or we can go to Jesus, and instead of going, seeing him ahead and forcing ourselves to grind up that mountain alone, recognize that Jesus wants to walk with us on the mountain. So what does this look like? How do we actually do this? We need to start with prayer. That's a pretty basic one. You probably thought of heard that. But in that prayer, have dedicated time for listening. Have a real think about what things God is saying to you in that journey. We need to be willing to take things out of our life. If we're trying to bolt stuff on, we're usually trying to, you know, go around the cross and just add things in. We need to go, well, what are we so busy for that we've actually pushed God out? And we need to take things out of our pack so that we can let holiness and put on the clothes that the passage tells us to do. We need to be willing to sit in this, that it might take some time, and invite other people into it, and only really engage in one thing at a time. We want to be better at everything straight away. I would love to be able to play every instrument on stage, but I probably just need to start at one. And as I get better at that, then I can start to introduce new things as we go. The other thing that I think is really important to go through the cross is to notice in the text, when you get to the second half, when it says these are the things you should do, these are the things that God's people have as traits, have as clothing, lots of them are communal. There's kind of an assumption that we are not walking this road alone. And so if we look at verses 12 to 17, it's a love which binds us together. It's a peace of Jesus making us one body. The word of Christ dwelling in us as we teach one another, singing songs together and being thankful to God. And so whilst we should be seeing our relationship with God as personal responsibility, we should also be doing that alongside other people. It shouldn't just be the New Year's resolution of New Year, New Me, I'm doing this alone, but it should be a group of people taking up their packs together, helping each other with their loads, helping each other get up when they're struggling, helping encourage each other, helping each other see the way as they walk alongside together. And this is tricky because God didn't make us all the same, and that's a really great thing. It means we're at different points at the journey, and so some people are going to be listening to this going, I don't know how you walk out the door without talking to Jesus in the morning. This is a concept I'm not super familiar with. And other people are going, I've never opened the Bible by myself, ever. Or maybe it's been a really long time. But as we've sort of stopped the edge of 2025 and we're launching into 2026 and we're deliberating as we continue our path to ascend that holy mountain, which roads we're going, I would like us to look around at one another And I would like us to think about not what individual things we're going to pursue for ourselves by the world's standard, but to see this journey as us walking home as brothers and sisters, as friends. Walking home to Jesus together to the place he's prepared for us with him in charge. And if that's a paradigm shift that's really helpful for you, then I really say amen to that, because I think that's a really wonderful blessing, is when we can lean on one another. So as we close, I've just thrown up a bunch of ways that we can let the word of Christ dwell in us, that we can encourage one another. And if you're looking for maybe a much shorter sermon where they just said, get up and here's the three things that will help you have a more holy 2026, here they are. Jump on, grab one or two things off this list, think about who you will do that activity with this year, not just what I will do, but who I can join in doing this together with. If you don't already, most Bible apps have an audiobook in them. So there's lots of free versions and apps, lots of different voices. There's the guy who plays Hercule Poirot, does a really fun one. Add psalms and hymns to your playlist rotation or your music rounds. Bands like Poor Bishop Hooper sing the psalms, Sons of Korah as well. There's lots of great apps, apps like PrayerMate, Lectio, PrayAsYouGo. They are really helpful to get you to form prayer habits. And when you see someone go, oh, I was meant to pray for you, that doesn't happen anymore because you've done it. If you are more of a hard copy kind of person, there are lots and lots of different resources. This is one. It's just got a different person to pray for, different missionary to pray for every single day. There's other ones that have different people groups that you can pray for every day who've never met Jesus. There's other ones that have different churches around Australia to pray for. Rachel and I's present for each other this year was his and hers devotionals. So if reading stuff on an app or doing devotionals on an app isn't for you, we found having a book each that we pick up every morning super duper helpful. And find new ways of doing that Bible time. Is it a prayer walk with someone else? Is it meeting someone to indulge in a coffee that you wouldn't normally get to? So these are all some great things. But as we finish, I think it's just the big thing I want to push is that our 2026 does not depend on ourselves. Our culture tells us that we need to meet certain criteria to be allowed to feel successful, that our neighbours might look down on us or push us towards other things. But the success of 2026 and forever after is guaranteed already by the work that Jesus has done on the throne in heaven. Jesus knows the ups and downs. He knows the wins and losses. He has worked it all out for his glory and his good. If you don't know Jesus, you want to know more about it, we would love to talk to you more. Please come talk to me or Mike. If you've got questions about any of this stuff, we'd love to talk to you more. But otherwise, I'm going to pray that we will have a really holy and wonderful 2026. Lord, thank you that we are united in you. Thank you that through your work on the cross, we can call you friend. Thank you that you have a place in heaven for us. Thank you, Lord, that we are renewed to appear in glory with Jesus. We pray that you would help us keep our eyes on heavenly things, to put away all kinds of evil, and strengthen us so that we can put on the holiness you desire us to have. In Jesus' name, amen.